to another edition of All About Jack C.S. Lewis podcast. I'm your host and the producer of the show, William O'Flaherty. Be sure to stop by EssentialCSLewis.com for other interesting content about C.S. Lewis, including daily facts, quotes, and quizzes about Lewis and interviews with authors on books about Lewis, as well as other chats on his shorter works like I'm sharing today. In this program, I'm repeating an essay chat done last year with Kevin Belmonte on period criticism. Previously, I had spoken with Kevin about his biography on G.K. Chesterton entitled Defiant Joy. Since then, he has had another book on Chesterton released late last year and a book about miracles called Miraculous. But again, today's show deals with a single essay by Lewis entitled Period Criticism. A key purpose for doing this is to encourage you to read or reread this and other shorter works by Lewis. Starting off, here's some background on the essay. Again, it's called Period Criticism. It was first published in November 9, 1946, in a periodical called Time and Tide. It appeared under a regular column that Lewis often contributed to, simply called Notes on the Way. Then Lewis is credited by Walter Hooper in giving it the title Period Criticism to this essay in the preface entitled On Stories, which is the main place you can find this work. Any additional background that you find, Kevin, to add?
Sure. Well, I think for me, the thing that's really interesting about this essay is it's one of the few times that Lewis really entered the lists, if you will, to counter an argument made by another writer. He was well and truly provoked that this writer, Mr. Stevens, to whom he was responding, had considered Chesterton to be dated and a very much a period writer, and Lewis wanted to counteract that vigorously. I'm not aware that he really entered the public controversy realm too much, wanting to defend another writer, so on that level alone, I think the essay is important and thought-provoking.
All right, and as you were noting, he was responding to, now you've actually read both pieces, but your source was not the On Stories, but another book related to Chesterton that you were telling me about before we were recording. You want to note that briefly?
Sure. Well, we have many fine antiquarian bookstores here in Maine where my wife Kelly and I live, and I frequent them, as so many writers do. And when I went down to have a look at the essay section, there was a wonderful Oxford University Press a book called G.K. Chesterton, A Half Century of Views. And both Lewis's essay, Period Criticism, and then the essay by Mr. Stevens, which prompted Lewis's reply, were in that anthology. And that was how I came around to discover both essays.
Examining the issues of the accusation of Chesterton being dated, how did Lewis defend him in Period Criticism?
Lewis sought to defend Chesterton in Period Criticism in two or three very revealing ways. First of all, he did so with charity. Lewis really felt that Stevens had offered an ad hominem criticism of Chesterton, which is to say, he criticized him without really marshaling any facts, just simply dismissed him as being dated and very much a period writer. And Lewis was always a person of great substance, and if you're going to make an accusation like that, you should probably marshal facts to strengthen your opinion. So on that basis alone, Lewis decided that he would not respond in kind, he would respond in charity, and rather than respond in an ad hominem fashion, he would respond in the matter of substance and offer facts and reasons to counter Lewis's argument. So I think that particular approach was revealing in and of itself. But then Lewis very much took up the question of what we would call chronological snobbery, and he said that, of course, many of Chesterton's essays were pieces of their time, that is to say they were written in response to current events and that kind of thing. But to say that that's true of all of Chesterton's works is unjust and inaccurate, because Chesterton's works of imaginative literature have many things within them that speak to universal aspects of the human condition. And then lastly, there were three books by Chesterton that Lewis singled out for special importance. One was The Ballad of the White Horse, Chesterton's magnificent epic poem, which modern writers like Gary Wills, who won the Pulitzer Prize, have singled out as being a neglected masterpiece in narrative verse. And for Lewis, That was a very important work. He said to George Sayer so memorably, "Don't you love the way that that poem grabs you, shakes you, and makes you want to cry?" Or that it speaks of elements of the human experience where men in a forlorn hope take up such arms as have left them and fight to win even though the cause may be lost. Those kinds of things resonated very powerfully with Lewis. There was also Chesterton's novel, The Flying Inn, which in its critique, its farcical critique of various political types and various political philosophies, Lewis really felt that Chesterton had achieved some important things there that are really timeless in speaking to the human condition. And then last of all, it's very telling that Lewis wrote praiseworthy terms about Chesterton's metaphysical thriller, as it's been described, The Man Who Was Thursday, even comparing it to Kafka, and saying that in that comparison, Chesterton had really spoken to elements of man's alienation in the backdrop of the entire cosmos in ways that are very powerful and transcended just the mere notion of a metaphysical thriller, that Chesterton had really contributed something very powerful through imaginative literature in terms of worldview and speaking to elements of the human condition where people feel alienated. Chesterton offered something very special and very important in writing that book.
Yeah, one of the things, in addition to reading the essay itself, I often use the C.S. Lewis Reader's Encyclopedia, which is unfortunately out of print, but entry for this notes that the real question Lewis writes is, in which sense Chesterton was, quote, of his period. But his imaginative works deal with ideas and personalities of enduring interest, and I thought that was a good way of summarizing the things that Lewis is doing here with his essay. We could discuss many other aspects here, but just one other brief discussion point, and that is, how do you think Lewis's approach to this issue can help us in our thinking today or responding to others?
Well, I think the thing that Lewis has done, and so many have been indebted to him for doing, is to really dispense with this notion of chronological snobbery, the idea that something is to be rejected out of hand simply because it's older than 10 minutes old is really rather foolish and silly, because it springs simply from a desire to be up to date without reference to the validity of someone's philosophy or the richness of what they may have contributed through imaginative literature. You just reject someone out of hand because they happen to be from an earlier time. And Lewis was someone who was all about saying, no, people who lived in earlier ages were every bit as sophisticated as we are. They didn't have the technological advancements that we take for granted, to be sure. But in terms of their life of the mind, matters of the heart, they had thought perhaps on many occasions far more deeply, much more richly than we have in our constant rush to get to who knows where without even really consulting a map of the cosmos, as it were. And I think that kind of idea, that theme coming out of Lewis's essay period criticism is a very important one.
Any particular quotes that stand out to you? I'm going to share one that relates to several things that you've been noting here, and that is in the essay, he says, "The truth is that the whole criticism which turns on dates and periods, as if age groups were the proper classifications of readers, is confused and even vulgar."
That's a great quote. You know, there's so many good ones in the essay. For myself, I would just simply point to the close of the essay where Lewis says that we ought to compare The Man Who Was Thursday with another good writer, Kafka. So in that one sentence, he's linking Chesterton and Kafka together, which is important in and of itself. But then Lewis goes on to say, speaking with reference to The Man Who Was Thursday and Kafka's writings, is the difference between the two simply that one is dated and the other contemporary? Or is it rather that while both give a powerful picture of the loneliness and bewilderment which each one of us encounters in his apparently single-handed struggle with the universe, Chesterton, attributing to the universe a more complicated disguise and admitting the exhilaration as well as the terror of the struggle, has got in rather more, is more balanced, in that sense, more classical, more permanent? And I think that particular passage speaks volumes about the admiration Lewis had for Chesterton, but it was an admiration that was well-founded. I think the points that Lewis raises in that passage are very well taken.
Well, as we wrap up here, any particular other essays by Lewis that you want to underscore as related?
Well, the whole of the book that this essay appears in now, as it's published on Stories, is a book that I commend very heartily to your listeners and to readers. It's really a sampler of Lewis's best essays across a whole range of topics, largely in the realm of literature, as the title suggests, but touching on all different kinds of writing. And if you're looking for a way in, if you're beginning to sample Lewis's essays for the first time, you could do worse than start there. It's a very good book to begin with.
All right, excellent point. Well, again, the whole idea of this series of chats is to get a person interested in reading the actual essay as well as others by Lewis. Kevin, we thank you helping me out with this endeavor.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.